Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet. It's Monday evening, of course. And the last time I was speaking to you, I was actually broadcasting remotely from the forest in the Russian River area. That was quite interesting. Now I'm back home in my home studio. It's kind of nice to be someplace a little more permanent. And joining me tonight is a mother-daughter team. They've authored a brand new book called The Virgin Diaries. And Kimberly Johnson and Anne Warner actually spent 7 years, I guess a little over 7 years, on the show Days of Our Lives. So welcome to the show, Kimberly and Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. And I know you guys have actually authored a couple of other books. You've got Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got that's two different books, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Well, Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak is one, and then we have The Virgin Diary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there's two books. I thought I saw something on your website about nightmares or something. Oh.
Yes, that's... Go ahead.
It's dreams and nightmares. It's this is Anne, and it's fiction. I like to write novels, and this is a novel that I have written, and we've just released that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just fresh, hot off the press.
Yeah, literally.
Brand new. Brand new. Now, I've got a question, which might seem a little out of the box, but you guys have been working together for a long time. How do you do it? I mean, a lot of mothers and daughters only see each other for the holidays, and they can barely stand that. They're just
Well, I think it's some karmic thing we're playing out or something.
Yeah.
We've always, I don't know, you know, I mean, I guess I followed in her footsteps in a lot of instances, but... she's creative, I'm creative, and I think it's funny because she decided to go into the acting industry first, and then I did, and then for the longest time, she's, you know, written fiction and stuff like that, and I jumped into the pool in 2009, so I always am following my mommy around.
Well, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's a big compliment, isn't it, Anne?
Yes, it is.
So before we dive into the topic of the Virgin Diaries, can you give our listeners a little bit of a background about what it was like to be on Days of Our Lives? For instance, Kimberly, I understand you were playing a police officer. Is that true?
Yeah, I actually started, they hired me initially as a model, then I was a reporter, and then I was a model again, and then they hired me as a cop, and that's what I stayed for, you know, most of the time. It was like 6 years I played a cop, so it's just kind of funny. But my part, I didn't even have a name, but my mother did. She's Eliana, and she was made to the evil Stefano De Mira. It's really dramatic.
But it was a unique experience, I guess. I will say, working on a soap opera, I look at the people that do it all the time. I mean, I was on that show for 7.5 years, and there were times when I had to be there every day, but mm-hmm. then there were times when I went for long stretches because I was not a contract player. But it can be grueling because it's very, very fast-paced. And,
yeah, and they have all this dialogue that they just have to memorize so quickly. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you know the storyline. But it was unique for both of us. We both had watched it, and I watched it with my grandmother and with my mother and with my friends. And so to be on it, it was kind of like I knew everybody. You know, when I walked onto the set for the first time and I didn't know anybody, I felt like I knew everybody.
That's
when
awesome.
I was a young mother and Kimberly was just a baby, I used to watch it.
So you were both fans, and then you wind up Yeah. On the show.
And that's like the only soap opera we really ever watched, you know. So it's funny. And we were totally into it.
But you guys weren't a package deal. It's not like they hired you together.
No. I mean, we were in the same acting class. And it was actually us, the two of us, because we do everything the same. But we were in the same acting class, and we were both after my acting coach. You know, we were in what was called the professional level, where we saw casting directors. And so we urged him to get Fran Bascom, who cast Days of Our Lives at the time, in. And when she, and finally when he, you know, got her in, she wound up hiring everybody from the studio, but my mother and I got the like the best part of it. We got the long. She, my mom got the longest, you know, or the most work, and then I think I came in second. So that was pretty cool.
It's amazing. I think you are right. It must be a karmic thing, because I can't imagine how that could happen by accident or or coincidence. So now you left Days of Our Lives. What year?
The last time I worked was in, I can tell you the date. It was March 24th, 2003.
That was her birthday.
It was my birthday. That's why I remember it.
Oh, okay.
And I believe that the last time I worked, she worked a little bit longer than I did, and I think my last, it was around the fall or you know, winter time of, now I don't even
02.
Remember. Yeah, 02.
Yeah.
Okay, and then and went immediately into writing books, or did you do something else in between?
Well, I've been writing books for years, and actually I left Days of Our Lives because I decided I was tired of living in Southern California, and I moved to Arizona.
And then while she was in Arizona, she wrote a lot, you know, and then I came up with the idea for The Virgin Diary.
Yeah, she came to visit me over Christmas in what was it? It was 2004. And she came up with the idea for The Virgin Diaries. And
she said to me, if you don't do it, I will. So I started collecting stories. And I started with women and friends that I knew. And then it just, because, you know, I only got so many stories. And I just wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. It just was this long process of several years, dropping it, picking it back up. And eventually we came to include, you know, she, mom came on board with me and started helping me collect stories. And I had, you know, put out a questionnaire on the internet, and so then we opened it up to men, and then we got a homosexual story, so we opened it up to homosexuals, and it just kind of morphed into it, and then eventually, after, you know, several years, it was in 2010 when we finally released it, so that's kind of how that happened.
Now, would you consider this to be you know, like a statistically significant survey of virgin or people losing their virginity, or is this more a kind of an anthology, a collection of individual stories?
That's exactly what it is. It's an anthology.
Okay.
It doesn't preach anything. It's not statistics. It's not cold fact information. I mean, we have some quotes and facts in there, but it's just basically real people telling what it was like for them, and it was made for virgins to have. I mean, when I was a virgin, no one told me what to expect emotionally. I knew what the mechanics were, but I didn't know, you know, what might be all the things, the emotions that go through your mind. And so I thought, you know, if other people were sharing their story and really saying how they felt and focusing on the emotions, you know, it could help somebody understand what it is they might, you know, that they're going to be getting into.
And this is actually an interesting aspect to the story here, because in the very beginning of your book, you talk about how difficult it can be for children to talk about sex with their parents. And, you know, you were speaking to a friend and saying, would you allow your 13-year-old to read this book? And your friend said, maybe when she turns 15.
That's like what everyone says. or older, you know, maybe when she's 50.
Right. After she's lost her virginity, then she can read it.
Yeah.
And then the book you mentioned, you know, it's difficult for parents and children to talk about sex. And you even go so far as to say you don't want to talk about sex with your mother, but you just wrote a book about sex with your mother.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we don't, I mean, okay, I do tell my mother certain things that, you know, I think that some mothers and daughters don't discuss. But when we were putting this book together, it's not like we sat there and really went in depth about the stories. I mean, she read them, I read them, and she edited them. I did some editing, but she did primary editing. And So, you know, I mean, we would every once in a while we would, get a story that was interesting, and we might discuss it or whatever, but it wasn't like we were hardcore.
Yeah.
And not only that, really, truly, well, one of the people that read it, and I think we actually included it on the back of the book, she said, isn't it funny how a book about sex isn't about sex at all? And really, that's what it comes down to, because what Kimberly was saying, it is about the emotional state. And it's not about the mechanics of sex, although, you know, I mean, obviously...
it's in there.
It's in there because it's the first time, but it's not...
That's not the focus.
It's not the focus.
Or the primary focus.
And quite frankly, the things that you read in romance novels are a lot juicier. I mean, there's really nothing... juicy.
Yeah, one of the reviewers, even a mother reviewer, said that it isn't titillating.
Yeah, not at all. Because it's just very real. It's just very real people telling their very real stories, and they can do it because they're anonymous, so they can be truthful and say what they, you know, how they felt.
And we have a story from a 77-year-old woman describing her first time when she was 15 years old. And, I mean, that was fascinating because, as my mother liked to say, you know, it's like sitting down with your grandmother and talking about sex. And, you know, she was really free with it. And she said, you know, I liked the boy and he liked me and it wasn't all contrived or anything. And I liked it and I wanted to do it more. And it's like, wow, isn't that interesting? Because that's like your grandma.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about another time when we might tend to think that women of
didn't do that.
Yeah, or didn't even feel that way.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, she was, she said back then it wasn't like it is now where it's just here, there and everywhere with everybody. And I don't know if that's exactly true, but you know, it certainly is more true now than it was then. But you know, she said that young people back then would pair up if they felt they were serious. She felt that, you know, she was going to marry this boy, which she did not in the end. But
she still knew him.
Yeah.
When she told this story when she was 77.
Yeah, she still knew him. And so it just, I think what it really does is it just shows that times may be different and people may be different because there's a wide spectrum of people in here. But the emotions are all the same.
And but let's back up a little bit to Ann. This is a question I have specifically for you.
Okay.
So the premise of the book is that this is for virgins to read before they lose their virginity.
Right.
And there's some question about, you know, whether or not parents would want their children to read a book like this. And so I wanted to ask you, Ann, about, you know, how you felt when Kimberly was growing up, about talking to her about sex, or would you have wanted her to read a book like this? And if so, at what age?
Well, I'll answer your question by telling you that Kimberly started asking about, well, where do babies come from? What every, you know, small child will ask. I always answered her questions honestly. I never gave her more information than she asked for. But, you know, where do babies come from? From their mothers. You see those ladies with the big bellies. And then, okay, how do they get out? So I told her that, and it was horrible and horrifying for her, but she was fascinated by it. And then she finally asked the question, how they got in. And so I told her, and I mean, it was very clinical. I used the correct names, the correct anatomical names for the man and the woman, and explained the process to her, and she just thought that was just, oh, she couldn't believe it. It was awful, awful, awful. But she asked me,
I was
time and time again.
Old.
Yeah, she was six by that time. This took place from about 4 years old to six. And then, you know, so we had that talk, and so she knew. She knew the mechanics of it. She didn't ask me anything more, and so I didn't volunteer anything more. And then finally, when she was 13 years old, I just said, we're going to have a talk.
So would you have given me the Virgin Diaries?
I would have definitely given Kimberly the Virgin Diaries because I always advise parents, you know, when we're talking about the book, it is a very uncomfortable conversation to have, but you cannot be uncomfortable. You can't act. You can't show your discomfort to your child because that is going to telescope an improper message. What you want to do is you want to, you know, what I did with Kimberly, when she was 13, I said, look, I know that you are going to be interested in boys soon, and we have one rule in the house. You are not to come home pregnant. There's no excuse for that happening. If you feel that you're going to have sexual relations with a boy, I want you to come to me first. You don't have to tell me anything. All you have to say is, I would like to go get birth control pills, because we're not going to have a situation where you're going to come home and then we're going to be faced with a really terrible decision, because there is no good thing when you have a teenager that comes home pregnant. It's going to be a bad thing, and I didn't want to have to look at something like abortion for my teenage daughter. I didn't want to have to raise a grandchild. I didn't want to have to have her give up a child for adoption. And I'm a realist. I remember when I was a teenager. I remember the pressures, and that was back in the 60s when it was very much like the 50s. And I went to Catholic school, and I was a good girl, and still, okay, there was that pressure. And when Kimberly was a teenager in the 80s, there was a lot more pressure. And so we had this conversation, and I said, you will not get into trouble, but I'm here for you. But we're not going to do this thing where you come home pregnant and then it's this whole drama.
But
I thought it would have been great to have a vehicle like the Virgin Diaries, because all I gave her was, don't come home pregnant and this is how you do it. When she was 4 years old, this is how babies get made. But there was nothing talking about
the
ramifications of what she might feel.
Exactly.
You were doing more damage control on it, and I just want to, put in here very quickly also, it's really important to think about sexually transmitted infections.
Absolutely.
As well as pregnancy. So,
well, at that time, though, I mean, even though they existed, I think that it's even more prevalent these days. You hear about it so much, and I always like to tell parents, throw that in there. Let them know. Take them to the computer and say, this is what herpes looks like. And if you get it, you'll have it for the rest of your life. and it's a scare tactic, yes, but it's the truth. You know, and when you're a kid and you just don't know any better and you're running on emotions and hormones and everything, you can find yourself in situations that you would do something and you just justify it. And, I mean, you do that as an adult, but when you're a kid, it's like, wow, it's you're not prepared. And what's interesting, too, in the Virgin Diaries is many people brought up the STD issue.
Yes, they did.
So,
and a lot of people brought up the issue that they never got
anything
from their parents.
Nothing.
No guidance from parents, from clergy, other than don't do it, or from school. You'll learn the biology, but you don't learn the emotional. And the emotional factor is, it's huge.
Well, that's very, it's very important, and that's why scare tactics
really
work around disease anyway, because most kids can sit in the classroom and see slides all day, and they're just going to go out and have sex.
They are, but I think that, I know that if I did see actually some pictures when I was a teenager, and it horrified me, and I really did take it into consideration. I mean, I wasn't running around anyway and just sleeping with any old guy, but it did make me think. I remember, and of course AIDS was being talked about at that time, and I grew up, in the 80s when that first came out. So it was something that I considered when,
So Kimberly, I would ask you a blunt question. Since you'd seen pictures and you were frightened, when you first had sex, did you use protection?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I used protection the whole time. And I was, it happened with my first boyfriend, and while that relationship went on, and it wasn't tons, but, we used protection.
Yeah.
And that was, it wasn't just a pregnancy thing. But, it's true. People are going to take certain risks when they like somebody, I think that the benefit of reading about other people's experiences, that they don't have an agenda with you. The people who provided their story don't have an agenda for virgins. They just said, okay, here's this is what it was like for me.
This is what it was like for me,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
did
I think
you,
another...
go ahead. If I just want to ask Kimberly a question here, but your mother had invited you to come talk to her if you decide you're going to have sex, and just no questions asked, she would put you on birth control pills. Did that happen?
No. No. I don't think teenagers would. I think I want to say this, as far as parents and the Virgin Diaries, if it's an interest of yours to perhaps read this book, take a look and see if you might want to pass it on because you've noticed your kid is starting to express whatever, I think it's important not to embarrass, because it's going to be embarrassing and mm-hmm. for the kid. I mean, it might be really embarrassing for the parent, but, oh, it's just going to be excruciating for the kid. So you just kind of leave it around. You know, you let it, because I guarantee you I would have read it. I mean, that's why, you know, when I had this idea and everything, I would have been all over this book. And but I really wouldn't have wanted to let my mother know the interest that I had, because I was curious about everything. I wasn't even ready to do it. I didn't even want to, and I was a bit of a prude. And so, but I was really curious about it, and I would have eaten this book up, and I think it would have given me information.
So, Anne, what do you think happened? Why do you think Kimberly didn't come to you and say, I want to be on birth control pills?
Just because she didn't, because she's Kimberly.
Because it was too embarrassing.
Yeah,
I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I guess it was too embarrassing, but she always knew, you know, that the one thing that she knew that she could come to me, and she, you know, she did maybe, what,
I did
about
come
a month?
To you after, when I had my second boyfriend.
Yeah. So, yeah, she did. But, you know, I mean, who can see it in the mind of a teenager? I think the most important thing there was that
there was trust.
There was trust. I trusted her.
And she did leave the door of communication open for me. I chose not to take it at that point because it was embarrassing. Because it's like, how do you go up to your... I mean, there was some women in the book who, I don't know if it was more than one, but at least one, who discussed it with her mother.
Yeah.
And said, you know, this is what I'm planning on doing. I, at that point, was not ready to say, this is, you know, I'm thinking about having sex for the first time, Mom. You know, you want to talk about it? Ah, no.
But yeah, another thing in this book is it dispels a lot of myths that are commonly held, and they're like, you know, you can't get pregnant if he pulls out.
Mm-hmm.
One girl in the book got pregnant that way. Mm-hmm.
The 77-year-old woman heard that if you inserted a bottle of cola up your you-know-what, that it would abort a baby.
Right. And then also a really common thing is if I sleep with him, then he will like me.
Mm-hmm.
If I have sex with that boy, then he'll be my boyfriend. And what girl really hasn't had that run by her? I mean, I did. I think every girl, and it's a myth, because then he just gets what he wants, and
a lot of the time,
yeah,
not
and,
all the time,
yeah, but and you know, and then you're just you're no more special than you were before. Maybe
you feel
even
less
a little, yeah, you feel a little less special, and maybe he views you as being less special because you are dealing with, you know, teenage boys who are into conquest and bragging rights. So there's a lot in this book that, you know, because people are looking back on this with a little maturity on them, well, some of them have a lot of maturity on them, that's all really good information.
So let's talk about the emotional landscape. You said you felt like that was the most important part of the stories of people losing their virginity. Can you share some individual stories, or maybe just in general, what you came away feeling about people's experiences around losing their virginity?
Well, I look at it like what I felt overall was that even though all the stories had, you know, a different slant, it would, a different predicament of how it led up to this particular event, it was the same event that everybody shared. And everybody who is going to have sex in their lives is going to have this particular day or evening or whatever it is. And even though all the stories had their own unique individual flavor, to me it just proved that when it comes to sex and the first time and everything, there's a curiosity. There's a lot of people stated that they didn't have grandiose ideas. Some did. Some expected it to be like a movie. some expected it just to be like, I'm going to get it over with. But it's like, it's such an important and pivotal moment because it really does take you onto the next, the next level. So I don't know. I walked away saying, I saw that men loved it and women thought it was eh.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't live up to their expectations, and that's, you know, I mean, that's something else. I mean, most people, not all, but most people, yeah, they had some kind of an expectation, and most people were afraid, and it didn't matter if they were a boy or a girl, but because this is uncharted territory, and you know, the girls are afraid of pain. The boys are afraid that they're going to
get her pregnant or get an STD
or look like a fool, okay? Because
they don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing. And so, I mean, all of these things are things that are common because we're all human beings. And not only does it not matter what gender you are, it doesn't matter what orientation you have, because the gay people in the book have the same emotions as the straight people in the book.
It's all this new territory, and you don't know. And I mean, that's the takeaway, is that, you know, we're all clueless when we enter this, and a lot of the reason is because parents and you know, whether it's educators or religious people in your whatever, nobody fully educates you on this, but yet you're educated for college, you're educated for your SATs, how to drive, you prepare your children for all these things in life, and even though you know they're going to have sex, you're just so, you know, parents can be so embarrassed or whatever, uncomfortable, that they just bury that one, and sex is a big deal. It, you know, it's a big deal for people, because if it's introduced in the wrong way, or not just introduced, because you can have a bad first time and have a fine sex life, but if you're introduced to sex in a situation that's not positive, it can start negative patterns.
So you've said that the women tended to feel that the first time was not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Was this because of the pain involved, or what in general did it seem like was
the reason? Well, sometimes it was the pain. Sometimes it was just because it was a non-event, you know.
Like, oh, this is what it all was.
This is what everybody's talking about. Mm. So, you know, one of the male respondents had that. You know, this is it. This is what all the hoopla's about. That was not the norm for the men, because usually they were just so happy.
Yeah, they were so grateful.
So happy and grateful. It was better than sliced bread. But a lot of the women, it was like, it was not that great.
Well, it hurt, and
it hurt,
just,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, sometimes there were instances where people did it for the wrong reasons. Mm. And then there was also several women, you know, who were like, got what they wanted from it. They weren't looking for the romance. They weren't looking for this, you know, ridiculous idea of what it was, and they were expecting it to just be what it was, and they wanted to get it over with so they could just move on, you know, go to the next level.
Yeah, so it was kind of like next.
So now I understand what it is, and I'm going to be, you know, doing it or not doing it, but, you know, people usually continue to once they start.
Yeah.
Is that what you found, is that most people continue to?
Most, but not all. Not all. There were a couple people in there. I think it was, wasn't it, I'm thinking of one story. I think it was from a female, and she, you know, it was not impressive. She felt,
yeah, that's
afterwards,
right,
she just thought, you know what, I'm a little bit too young for this, so I just think I'm going to hold off for a while.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, no matter who you are, I think that you can find a little bit of yourself in this book, because there are just so many different people from so
yeah,
many different walks of life.
Yeah, there's 72 stories.
Yeah. So.
Well, and that brings up an interesting question, too, since you were interviewing people about losing their virginity. I'm wondering if you have, did you put your stories in the book?
Yes, we did.
You did. Awesome. Yeah. And I wonder, Anne, would you be willing to give us a little tease about that?
No.
I will give you a tease. I will let you
all
know
right,
that.
All right, Kimberly.
I will let you, because I've already done this before. I've spilled some of the beans before, but
I've been very close to the vest.
In my case, I was 16.
Okay, Anne, we're going to put you in the poker man. Kimberly, go.
I was 16 when it happened, and you know, and I felt at the time, I felt that I was ready. It just, I wasn't, because I was such a, like, I use the word prude, and I say that jokingly, but I say it because I did not want to do it. I mean, I didn't want to know about my period. Oh, my God, I was mortified. I hated the idea of it. I didn't want to think about sex. I didn't want to think about any of it as far as I was concerned. I mean, I could read about it, or I could, you know, talk to my friends about it, but I didn't want to do it. And then I had my boyfriend, and things progressed. And I decided, it was a decision that I had made prior to doing it. In fact, which is interesting, I have a questionnaire, and I ask all these questions, and one of my questions is, did he have a hard time getting it in? Because the first time that I tried, it just didn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And I thought that was interesting, and I didn't know if it happened with anyone else, and it came up that, yes, a few other people in the book had the same experience. But, so I did, and...
was that because he couldn't get it up, or because...
No, he could. It's just that we tried, and it wasn't going in. It just wouldn't go in.
Well, it's because, you know, you've got, you know, you have somebody who's, first of all, she didn't want to do it, and...
Well, I knew that it was going to hurt,
yeah,
so I'm sure that I wasn't relaxed,
was
and it was my first time,
yeah,
and I was young, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and... So I just, you know, I mean, and after the experience was over, I was one of those women who was just glad to have it behind me, because I figured that it would get better, because why would everybody keep doing it if it was, because it was very painful. It was just not pleasant, you know, and it was like,
sorry.
Okay, got it out of the way.
So it was painful and you got it out of the way. Why did you, I know one of the questions in your survey was, why did you pick this particular person? And I would ask you, why did you pick this particular boy?
He was my boyfriend at the time, and I was so, you know, he was like a rock star to me, and like a popular, weird guy that I, you know, he was very weird.
He was very weird.
And I, you know, I was just enamored of him, and we had been going together for, you know, I can't remember it was how long it took before. It was a while. I mean, I know it was 4 or 5 months or something, or maybe longer before we did it. It wasn't like I just did it immediately, but
yeah.
I wanted to because, well, actually, here's the beans, is that he, I lived in one town, and he lived about maybe 35 miles away, something like, I don't know, it was a long way for a teenager with no car. He had a car and I didn't. He had another girl on his side of town, and he would always tell me that he broke up with her, and I would always come to find out that he wasn't, and I would want to believe him, and it was all dramatic and everything. So there was part of me that thought, if I had sex with him, he would choose me. And, you know, I mean, clearly, he just got to have sex with two girls. Because I had known that, you know, she had been intimate with him as well. And, you know, our relationship continued on for a while after that, and it ended, and then we got back together, and then it ended, and, you know, it was a typical teenager thing. But, you know, that was kind of the reason. I did feel like I loved him, for whatever that means when you're 16. And I did feel safe enough with him, and I don't know why I did, but I felt safe enough with him, and I trusted enough in him that I didn't feel like I was putting myself in a situation that was bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much why I chose to do it. And after I finished it, I mean, I remember actually feeling like, ha ha, did it. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I ran around announcing it to everybody. Of course, my friends knew. And about a month later, I told my mother. Yeah. I think it was about a month later.
Did you feel different, Kimberly? Did you feel like...
No, not really.
No. Felt the same as you did before?
No, I mean, I felt like I had made that, you know, life-turning moment thing. I felt that, but I didn't feel like anything had really changed. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew that now sex would always be on the table, no matter what boy or man came into my life, that it, you know, it wasn't going to be about just making out and, you know, him trying to fill you up anymore. Now he's, you know...
Yeah.
Now it's the the tables have turned, and I think every virgin knows that. And with a man, you're like, a lot of the men are like, good, let's go, you know, game on. And women, I think, for women it is different because we don't have that thing of where when you're a teenage girl or a young woman, whenever you choose to lose your virginity, prior to doing that, it's all just about the making out. And maybe they try to, you know, touch you here and touch you there, but you're no, no, no. That is just pretty much changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess you wouldn't have to tell them that you'd lost your virginity.
Well, no, but it's just in your head, I think. You know, I mean, and if you had the opportunity to try it and to actually enjoy it, then you'd probably want to do it again if you met somebody who you really liked.
Yeah. So you found that you wanted to do it again even though it was painful and kind of anticlimactic?
Well, I did. I think I just did because it was the situation of it. I don't believe I ever enjoyed it when I was with him to the point where it was this hardcore romantic thing. It was just something that all of my friends were doing, mm-hmm. and now I was in the group. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the second boyfriend that I had is the one that I got to explore that with, not the first one.
Mm-hmm. So it got better with the second boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you, Anne, I'm wondering, what would you say to our listeners who happen to be parents and might be entertaining the idea of getting a copy of your book? How would they even give the book to their teenager?
Well, I think Kimberly had said earlier, I think really the thing to do is get the book, read it yourself, see what you think, and then just leave it around. Just leave it where they'll find it. Because if you put it in their hand, it's almost like a class assignment. It will make it immediately unfavorable, not necessarily, you know, but in some instances. Now, I know that Kimberly, one of her friends has 5 kids, and we had sent a book down for she had a 14-year-old daughter. Well,
who's a reader?
Yeah, who is a reader? But she also has a son, and how old is he?
Well, I think he was 15 at the time.
15, okay. So he's not a reader. Well, he just, you know, her friend told
her. He couldn't
stop.
His nose is in that book all the time.
So, and that's because, and like, she didn't say, you have to read this. It was just,
He found it on his own, and she had introduced it freely.
Yeah.
And encouraged discussion. And her
daughter.
And
then her 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Her 11-year-old read it, and because there is an instance of a girl who was just before she turned 13, so she was 12.
She was the youngest one.
She was the youngest. And the 11-year-old read that and was just shocked. But it opened up a discussion with her mother, and what did her mother tell her?
She said, you know, that's right, that happens, so keep your legs closed. But I mean, and I know her relationship with her kids, you know, she's very open about stuff like that, and so, you know, her kids felt comfortable talking to her, which was really cool.
Yeah, because it did. It opened, you know, just having the book around, it opened all these lines of communication that really probably would not have been there, especially in the way that it was, because here were actual things that they could discuss, actual stories, actual points that struck her daughters and her son, and so that it opened a dialogue. And that's got to be a good thing.
And then, of course, they all like to make jokes because they all know me very well. So that, you know, but still, I think it's good because it just encourages the fact that sex is part of our lives and it doesn't have to be something that's taboo or dirty or nasty. It's just something that's part of our lives. And if you take it, I mean, it's a serious issue, but at the same time, it isn't. It's just another thing that we do.
Yeah.
You know, so if you treat it like it's just another thing and don't make such a big deal out of it, I don't know. I just think that's how children benefit.
Yeah.
Because they're still going to be embarrassed. No matter what, you're embarrassed when it's your parents.
But it's just a healthy, normal human thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, actually, you know, I know some sex educators whose children are not embarrassed about talking about.
Right, but I think a lot of kids are.
It tends to be the cultural norm, yes.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the concept of virginity. some people consider virginity to pertain to the hymen in the vagina. Some people actually think that if they engage in anal sex, that they have preserved their virginity. Did you encounter any discrepancies in people's definition of virginity in the stories that you collected?
Well, interestingly enough, it was a 75-year-old man. He did sort of like a whole dissertation on exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, what constitutes virginity? Yeah. But within when this book was created, the idea for me anyway was that I didn't care so much about the clinical definition. I did want it to be the first time that you had sex. So if it's sex between two women, and you're not putting, you know, the parts in each other, it's about the emotional aspect. You know, because if you have a gay couple, you know, there's that whole argument of what's virginity. To me, I just mean it in the way that it's the first time you really go there sexually with somebody. I mean, you can play and pet and do all the stuff, but when you go the whole nine with the other person, and then it
so
starts
basically
to become...
The people who contributed to the book to define that moment for themselves?
Well, if they wanted to. I mean, that wasn't a specific question. But, you know, and in a lot of cases, it was six. We got six gay stories, so six, three from women and three from men.
The lesbian stories, how was virginity defined there? Was it about penetration? Was it about oral sex?
Well, they didn't really go into that as much as just their real first sexual encounter. I mean, they didn't describe acts that they did. You know, I mean, in some instances, I think they might have said it kind of that's why we say this book isn't titillating, because it wasn't like you get descriptive details of the sex that the people had.
Okay.
You know, it was what was going through your mind before, during, and after. How were you feeling? Did it hurt? Did you like it? Were you surprised? Those kinds of things. So when the participants answered the questions, that question was never posed specifically.
Well, one of your questions was very specific about penetration and whether or not the guy had trouble getting it in.
Right.
So when you adjusted that survey for your lesbian respondents, did you take any reference
to
penetration?
Yeah, they didn't get that. They didn't get that question. Because it didn't apply to them.
Not entirely true, actually, because there is penetration between lesbians sometimes. It may choose not to do penetration, but plenty of.
But I think I felt that was more specific than I was looking for, because I think that when you're going there for the first time and you're going to take your clothes off of someone and explore their body and try to, you know, arouse them and do all this stuff, to me, that's what the focus was on. And so there were no stories from any heterosexual couples that talked about sex without penetration. Everybody who was heterosexual described that. But and even though I did have that question in there about, you know, did it hurt? Or, I mean, did he have trouble getting it in? I just kind of figured everybody was going to tell their own story. This is how it, you know, this was my first time of whatever they defined as virginity.
Yeah. So I hear you were more specific with the heterosexual respondents.
But now, for instance, okay, the reason that we decided to include gay people was because we did get a response from a lesbian. And she was answering the questions, and then right in the middle, she said, all of the next questions do not pertain to me, so I'm not sure how to answer them. I'm trying to answer this questionnaire in an honest and personal way on a question that is really just for heterosexuals. That leaves out many people, and I think it's important that all sorts of people answer this.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I'm bypassing the guidelines but keeping it honest for my situation. And then she just goes on to say she was gentle and sweet as a 19-year-old can be. She tried to explain to me what was going on in my body and wanted to please me. And then, you know, and she goes into it, and so it's not, you know, she said the worst part was how foreign it all felt, and that was very scary. And how I felt for her was intensified after that, and I wanted more. So it's not that she was going into the physical acts, and that's what we really were not.
We even specifically said that we didn't want pornographic type material or too graphic, because this was for virgins.
And when you're talking about virgins, more often than you're not, you're talking about young people, and you're talking about people that are in their early teens.
And anyway, they know the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
You know,
that does bring up a question about mm-hmm. The respondents. Did you have any 40-year-old virgins?
We had
32 man.
Yeah.
A man who was 32 when he
yeah.
was
the
journey.
First time, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess for the women, I can't remember the oldest person, but in her 20s, you know,
yeah.
somewhere, probably not late 20s, but, you know, early to mid.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So overall, you know, you guys were talking about the emotional content of losing one's virginity. Did you find that, and you just mentioned a lesbian respondent who was talking about feeling... I think a little more emotionally attached to her
mm-hmm.
sexual partner.
Yeah.
Did you find that there was more importance put on the relationship after crossing this threshold, or did relationships
for the lesbians?
No, just
or just anybody
in general.
Anybody in general of any sexual orientation, male, female.
Maybe for the most part, but not everyone.
Yeah, it varied. It really did vary from person to person. There were some people that said yes. You know, after that, then it intensified. The relationship intensified.
Some people married.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but then others, no. I mean, really, truly, the responses are as different as there are people.
And we have, you know, we like to say that we didn't insert any commentary. It's just the stories. We give a little introduction, and we talk about, you know, how the book came to be and the process, and we put a little commentary as just far as, you know, sex is all around us, but nobody tells you what it's like emotionally. So then it's just the stories. And, you know, we try to just keep our opinion out of it. We put our story in. But we do have some graphics that are in there to match up with the stories. And we got a story from a guy that we like to call the cautionary tale. And frankly, he was a jerk in that when he gave me his story, he gave it to me before I even had the opportunity to give him the questionnaire. And... I emailed him back and I said, you know, I'm, you know, thank you so much, but there is a questionnaire that everybody's answering, and so he like emails back, I didn't realize this was a contest, and then I never heard from him again. But we kept his story because he was the guy that he had been drinking, and there was a girl at a party, and she liked him, and he knew it, and she was a virgin, and he had sex with her, and it was he lost his virginity with her, but he didn't even care. And he states that in the story. I didn't care what was going on with her. I was just worrying about what the hell I was going to do with the rest of my life.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and luckily, because I was drunk and did not care about her, I wasn't embarrassed.
Yeah, and so we have a picture of a screaming caveman. That's our commentary.
this is the boy that you
Stay
never want your
from.
Daughter to meet. But he's out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think that... like I said, we didn't put too much, but boy, that's the story you want your daughter to read.
Yeah, and it's only one page long because he didn't give us a whole story.
It doesn't sound like it.
So, yeah.
He didn't have much to share there.
No.
Have you had any parents respond negatively to this? You know, you must be getting comments on Amazon. Are people raving about it and talking about what a help it's been with parenting their teens, or are you?
Yeah, the response from parents has been very favorable. Mm-hmm. It's we've never gotten a negative comment as far as any parents are concerned. What I would say is a lot of people, like when we're out doing book festivals or in bookstores or whatever, there's lots of parents who won't even look, especially if they have their child with them. And we had a situation when we were at a festival, and there was this boy, and I guess I'm going to guess he was between 7 and 8, and maybe 9.
No,
but,
I think he was a little more like 9 or 10.
Okay, well, he was young. He was
very young.
And he was kind of away from his parents. They were at the booth next to ours, and so here's the little pink book, The Virgin Diaries, sitting up there, and that's all it says on the cover. There's no other words, no pictures, no nothing, and he was, like, cradling it in his hands.
He was mesmerized.
It was like he was looking at a piece of shimmering gold. And then as his parents came, he had to pretend he wasn't interested. But we found that so many parents that walked by saw the word, the Virgin Diaries, and they averted their eyes. But then just conversely, there are those parents that go, oh, that's interesting, and then they walk up to us, and it always, always gets a really long conversation going. And mm-hmm. oftentimes they get it.
Yeah.
And they'll get it. They'll say, you know what, I'm going to get this for my sister, or I'm going to get this for my
best friend. We've had grandmothers buy it for their grandkids.
Boomers and grandparents love this book.
Well, of course. The boomer parents are always the ones parodied in the movies for being too sexually explicit in their conversations.
But we didn't expect that audience. We really didn't. We found a surprising audience with men of all ages, but men, I'd say 40s and up, and then boomers in general.
Huh. Mm-hmm. You know, when you can draw a male readership for your book, that's a good thing. Usually it's 80% female.
Yeah.
So how can people find your book? I think your website's actually called arcstories.com.
Right.
A-R-K Stories.
Arc Stories.
And so, yeah, all our books are on there. And then also I'm just going to say really quickly, we have something called the Body and Self-Image Blog, and we're currently accepting submissions. Same idea. It's on a blog now, though, and we have stories from men and women of all ages with all different kinds of topics like tattoos, weight, age, male, female, all, you know, just anybody. We're doing that. But our books are available on Amazon, and the Virgin Diaries is Kindle for $2.99.
And so the new book, Body and Self-Image.
Well, it's a blog right now.
Yeah.
It's a blog?
It's a future book.
Right.
Okay. People can submit their stories. Do you have a questionnaire online?
It's not a questionnaire, but people can submit their stories credited or anonymous. So if you've, like, written a book or, you know, but it's got to be a personal story and it's got to be meaningful. And, you know, whether you just want to go and read the stories or you want to contribute a story, all the information is on arcstories.com. And then, you know, the new book, the new fiction book is up there. And we have videos and reviews, and you can read two stories from the Virgin Diaries there as well. And, you know, there's just different things you can check out.
Yeah.
Very interesting projects. And you're a very interesting writing duo, too.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me in the Shame Free Zone. I hope to have you back when this new book on body image comes out.
Terrific. We'd love to come back. Thank you very much.
All right. Kimberly Johnson and Anne Warner, authors of The Virgin Diaries at arcstories.com. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
To my listeners, just to let you know what I'm up to, this Saturday I'm going to be teaching a workshop in Nevada City called the Compassionate Couples Connection. It's an all-day workshop. It goes from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's going to be at the Sierra Commons on Sacramento Street. If you want to get more information about that workshop, you can email me at veronica@theshamefreezone.com. That's veronica@theshamefreezone.com. And I'm also going to be teaching a teleseminar with Francesca Gentile. And this one is called Befriending Your Inner Whore. This is a workshop for women, and I'm actually going to be sending out announcements in my newsletter, and there's already some stuff up on Facebook, so if you happen to be my friend on Facebook, you can find that. But again, ultimately, just give me an email, send me an email, and I'll send you a copy of the newsletter. You can see on information about both of these workshops. If you happen to be in the Reno area, on the 12th, that's a Friday, I will be teaching a workshop about orgasms. And I'd be happy to get you the information about that one as well. It's going to be an evening class going from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Again, more information available at veronica@theshamefreezone.com. That's it for tonight. I'll see you back here next Monday. We'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian, kenapa tak mutus kabar?